I got to thinking, Matthew.
It's dangerous.
Yes, it is. I agree. But we must do it from time to time. How long is it that I will actually play video games for? Well, I'll reach a point in my life where I say to myself, you know, I don't really fancy playing any video games anymore. I'd rather watch a film. I mean, I found myself doing this last week with Star Wars Battlefront, a game we shall talk about, I'm sure, in this podcast.
Indeed.
But I'd rather watch a film.
Sounds like some serious questions have been thrown down, Thomas Parry. Time for some serious Tom and Matt attack.
Let's discuss Tom Matt attack.
Okay, so...
You can tell it's been 2 weeks since we've done this.
Yeah, I know. It's also been 2 weeks since I've actually recorded audio for a biographic episode, so my ability to speak into a microphone without going blah is a bit off. How are you, to
I'm
start
right.
with?
I'm all right. As I say, I'm going through some real dilemmas
about changes.
My interest in video games.
Why, did you lose your thumbs? No, they're both there. I can see them.
No, rest assured... that I'm not giving up on video games. Oh no, far from it. I'm still very much interested in them. I just question to myself, you know, I'm not one of those people who play video games for a long time. I would consider myself a casual gamer, but a casual gamer who has an interest. You know, I'll be on there on the internet checking the latest stories, looking at what's coming out. I'll be interested in buying latest releases, sampling them. But I found myself over the years steering myself away from long adventure games and such, and because I know that when I play games, I just like to play them for an hour or so.
Welcome to my world and why I collect for the Nintendo Game Boy.
That's right, because also as you get older, you've got more responsibility. You have less time to play video games. And I really can't... I'm amazed at people who manage to find the time to do it, to be honest.
Well, I'm currently doing a thing for RetroCollect.com, which a lot of people on that forum do, and it's called the 52 Game Challenge, started by a good friend of mine, Stu, or at Ninja Bear Hug, as he's known on YouTube and the Twitters. But I'm actually quite behind. Like, I realise we're going into the this is the 48th week of the year, and we're going into the 49th. However, I think that means I have like around 12 games to beat in the next month. And that isn't going to happen, I don't think. I'm going to try.
But can these games be Game Boy games?
They can. A lot of them have been. Like, I have actually in that time also beat a few things like Final Fantasy, Typo, and all this kind of stuff. Like, a few 30-hour RPGs.
By the way, I'm lost with Final Fantasy games at the minute. There's been another one come out, isn't there? About Beastly Swords or something like that. What's that one called?
What's that?
Is it something about swords? Some sword game. Sorry for my...
Isn't that Zelda?
No. It's the Final Fantasy game. I saw it on the PlayStation Store not so long ago.
I really don't know. If there has been a new Final Fantasy game released, it has completely slipped my notice. Final Fantasy Sword only brings me up a picture of Cloud's Buster Sword.
Okay.
So I don't know.
We'll look at that later.
We will, yeah. We'll figure it out. But Final Fantasy actually could actually segue us quite nicely into a little thing that happened as of late. Being a certain Nintendo Direct, but I think we should talk about that later and keep on the topic of your inner turmoil of video games.
I wondered how to describe myself. You know, I was chatting to our friend Joe this morning, and he actually came up with something which I thought was probably quite accurate. I'm a casual gamer, but an avid collector. And I've realised this just lately. Collecting video games is a huge part of it. I mean, I will play everything that I get, but the way I like to play video games is I'll get a new one and I'll play it for a little bit, and that'll be like a real buzz. That'll be really great. And then maybe I get so many video games, I just don't have the time to sink time into them. You know, I've been on eBay recently over the past couple of weeks, and I've bought loads of games. I go back to the UK, I will have a ton of games, and I will sit there for a day, you know, and go through them and test them. Yeah. You know, make sure they're okay. And sometimes, you know, that's all I do. You know, I buy the games, I test them, and they go, oh, that's nice, I've got that now, I can play that one day. And I'm thinking, well, maybe when I reach retirement or whatever. Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking maybe a bit too far ahead, but maybe when I reach a point where, I don't know, I find myself on a Sunday afternoon sitting down to play a video game.
Yeah.
Which isn't strangely something that happens right now, and it maybe should be. That I'll have all those games there and I'll just be able to play through them. But yeah, more often than not, it's just for a quick blast. I have played Battlefront within the last week since it's been released, but it's only been for an hour here and there. I played Lego Star Wars this morning. Lego Star Wars 2, I had, for 45 minutes this morning. And after that, I was like, well, that's enough. I can't play this game for any longer. I'm getting a bit tired of it.
Okay.
You know, and I'll come back to it, and I'll probably play it for another 45 minutes. And I was like, yeah, that's enough of that. And that's how I used to play New Super Mario Bros. When I first got my Wii U. And I remember. And I was like, I really like this game because I can play for half an hour, get up to a checkpoint, and stop. And then I can go back to it, you know, and to play another half an hour. It was like, for me, gaming seems to be like watching an episode of a TV show. Yeah. Maybe sometimes I'll even watch two episodes. Maybe I'll play for an hour. But I haven't got lost in the game. Maybe I'm playing the wrong games. Maybe I have to take that copy of Fallout 3 or Oblivion off my shelf and sit down there and see if it can actually grab me. The last time I really got sucked into a game was probably Black Flag. Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and at the same time, it was Shadow of Mordor as well.
I really like sitting down and playing a long adventure game, though.
I know that. That's why it's interesting to have this conversation with you, because that's...
I like being immersed. Mm. However, they're kind of... a good friend of mine, a guy called Martin, who works at Frontier Games, actually. I was chatting with him at the summer. I even mentioned this on the podcast, I believe. I went over and I met him. He used to be in my Final Fantasy XI guild back in the day, and we all finally met up. And I was chatting with him, and I was just kind of saying, like, oh, yeah, well, I should be doing something else. He's like, no, he goes, you shouldn't be doing something else. He said, you should be doing what you feel like you should be doing. He said, if you want to play games, if you want to write, if you want to do something else, he said, you do something else.
It's everything in moderation, really, isn't it?
Subjective. It isn't like... a fixed thing, but I often feel guilty when I sit down for a long period of time and play video games.
But I don't feel guilty if I have maybe that day made some real good use of my time and been creative and maybe written something or drawn something, and then later on in the day I can say to myself, well, now I'm going to play a game for a little while, and I'm going to feel great about it.
Yeah.
Because I've done something else which I thought was more meaningful.
Yeah.
Because playing a game is fun. It's not like watching a film. Sometimes when you finish watching a film, you feel like you've really gained something from it. Not all the time. Sometimes a film can be just a bit of entertainment, a bit of escapism.
Yeah.
But sometimes, more often than not with me, when I watch a film, I watch something and it leaves me thinking about something. It also depends on the type of games you play, because there are games out there that you can play that do make you think.
Yes.
And do give you a real unique experience that you feel, well, that was certainly worth my time. That just wasn't what half an hour of escapism and challenge, which is fine as well.
Yeah, it is.
But it's just pure entertainment, and there is definitely more. You know, you must spend time entertaining yourself as well.
I'm actually a lot higher on this 52 game challenge than I realize. I'm looking through. I can literally, thanks to the wonders of Twitter and having to have tagged all of these games as I've beaten them, I can literally tell you all of the games I've beaten this year.
Go on, Matthew. I think that'll be quite interesting.
Right. Tracks. How many? Currently somewhere around 48. Okay. I'm not that far off.
Bear with us.
And there's a thing, right. So, Tracks, Captain Toad, Popeye, Kirby's Dream Land, Road Rash, Tesla Grad.
If I say something about each of these games, are you saying?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The Blues Brothers, Game Boy. Ico.
Yeah.
South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, yeah.
First Person Lover, which I beat with you.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Toons Adventures. Hammerin' Harry.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Crayon Shin-Chan 4. Uh-huh. Final Fantasy Type-O. Tailspin.
Tailspin.
Adventure Island. Never Alone. Valiant Hearts. Axiom Verge. Mega Man 3.
On the Game Boy.
Yes. Ghostbusters 2.
On the Game Boy.
Yes. That's very odd, because I would have also beaten Mega Man 1 and Mega Man 2, because I did them all for Mega Me.
Yeah, you can add that.
Why aren't they on? I need to retally this, because the total's completely off. Ghostbusters 2, Mega Man 4, Box Boy.
Unless otherwise stated, these are Game Boy games.
Most of them are.
Well, when you can say there's a console version as well, like Mega Man.
Yes, unless otherwise stated. Yeah, yeah. Splatoon, Shenmue, DuckTales for the Game Boy, DuckTales 2 for the Game Boy, Little Mermaid, Lock and Chase, Lion King, Harry Boy, King of Ring, Journey, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, Psychoden, BC Kid, Bonk's Adventure, i.e. Phantom Pain, Grow Home, Yoshi's Woolly World, Lego Dimensions, Popeye 2, Beginner's Guide, Battlefield 4.
Beginner's Guide, what's that?
We haven't talked about it on this podcast.
It's not Beginner's Guide to Cooking.
No, Beginner's Guide is a game written by the guy who made Stanley Parable.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we talked about it on this podcast.
I can't remember.
Maybe we didn't. Not that great. It's a very interesting game because it seems to be creating a persona of the guy who made it, but we'll talk about that in a sec. Watch Dogs, Gargoyle's Quest, Ninja Gaiden.
Shadow.
Yes.
Okay, so you've certainly spent quite a lot of time playing video games.
I have, yeah.
I haven't completed any games for a long time.
You never complete games, though.
I can't tell you when I last completed a game, to be honest. I can tell you when I last intended to complete a game, and that was probably Shadow of Mordor or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I've seen you beat Sonic games this year, at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're quite straightforward.
Super Mario 3D Land?
Yeah.
Did you ever beat Mario 3D Land?
Of course, yeah. How can you not finish that game to completion?
Do you know, I still don't own that game.
It's the quality of that game that keeps playing till the end, and it's not got a moment where you... testament to its good design that you feel like, fed up with this game.
Yeah.
Well, this game's frustrating me. I'm not going to play it. Never has that. You know, and where some people might argue that it's like, it's too easy then. You know, it's just good. You know, it's not too easy, not too hard. It was a great experience. Yeah. And one I finished. So, you know, games I finish, I usually rate quite highly because they've kept me interested enough to do it. I mean, I can say why I didn't maybe play Shadow Mordor again, because it got very repetitive.
Yeah.
And it is, you've got to be in the right mood for it, because it is quite a dismal sort of game. You know, you play, it's dark and it's rainy and it's a little bit... It's a great game, though.
Yeah.
Black Flag, that was why that was such a good alternative to that, because it was bright and sunny and... But after you've played a lot of that, you know, it's kind of rinse and repeat again. Maybe Mario just came with enough new ideas throughout the game. And there's something to be said about Nintendo games in general anyway.
There is.
Yeah, there you go. I'm definitely going to go back to Splatoon. I've started playing Splatoon single player and really getting there.
It's fantastic.
But again, you know, I played the first chunk, beat the first boss. And I thought, well, that was enough for now.
Yeah.
I do intend to go back to it. In fact, I got Battlefront, and I was still like, I'd rather play something a bit different. Because everyone else who I live with was playing Battlefront at the time. And I felt like, I need to get away from this Star Wars for a little while. But then again, there I am playing Star Wars Lego. And I am sort of like, I guess, most Star Wars fans at the moment, feeling the buzz around the new movie. And
I'm kind of tired of the buzz around the new movie. As we've talked about before, like, it's getting to the point where people are releasing so many trailers and so many little fucking details that I'm just like, I could literally probably paste together this entire movie from what I've seen now for some point.
Massive things. It's not like, I think it's quite good the way they've released little things to tease. They certainly are teasing Very much so, aren't they?
Yes.
But they've not released anything substantial, any substantial information about the films. But if you do dig deeper, then you can read interviews that some of the actors have given, and you can maybe piece together a few other things.
And then some people, like Nerdist, is particularly bad for this. It's a podcast slash a geek culture website now. But like, they keep posting things, and I'm just like, stop, it's a fucking massive spoiler. Like, why are you putting this in my feed? And I mean, like, the whole Vanity Fair or Entertainment Weekly or whatever article it was that, like, told us who was actually under the Kylo Ren mask and things. And I'm just like, I don't want to know. I want to find that out in the film. I want to... That's why I'm going to pay to watch this piece of entertainment.
You
don't
could argue
fucking reveal everything.
A little bit too much has been revealed. That's a good example, revealing what Kylo Ren looks like underneath the mask. But maybe in the film, it's not something that secretive anyway. I don't know if there's a point in the film where you see Kylo Ren see the mask, and, oh, who's that? And maybe it's not till later that you see him take it off, and then you're meant to go, woo.
But maybe not. No,
maybe not. I don't know.
Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows? Nobody knows until the film is out. Still quite exciting.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. But at the same time, just, oh, man. But Battlefront, let's talk about it then.
Yeah, we've already touched upon Star Wars, so let's go into
it. We didn't really come to a conclusion, though, about... Do you actually think that you are getting tired of games and you prefer collecting games? Or do you just think you've always been someone more fascinated with the idea of games than actually playing them?
That's funny. I know I've always appreciated games on a different level to maybe a lot of people. I mean, that is why we do what we do. We do this podcast because we're passionate. We're very interested in not only just the playing the games, but seeing how they're designed, finding unique and interesting experiences through video games. And that will always, I think, if video games keep developing the way they do, be of interest to me. So I think I definitely will keep my interest in games and keep checking them out over the years and seeing how they advance. But maybe they'll advance in a way that I won't be as interested anymore. I don't know. Let's wait and see. At the moment, I can tell you this, just slightly, collecting things. I've collected specific series, my favourites.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's saying something. I'm now spending less time looking for old games that are unique and spending more time with franchises I'm familiar with and collecting them. But let's leave that for a moment and talk about Battlefront.
Yes.
Yes.
A franchise you are familiar with.
I'm familiar with it. I've played the first two on the original Xbox. I enjoyed... most of my time with Battlefront was spent playing the Galactic Conquest mode in co-op.
Yeah.
On Battlefront 2, I think. And I enjoyed that, but one thing I didn't like was having to do the mission where you have to attack a Star Destroyer over and over again.
Okay. Why not?
Well, because it was repetitive, the same thing every time. You know, the Galactic Conquest is a map, and you move from place to place on the map, but then suddenly you'll find yourself in a place where you have to do this Star Destroyer battle.
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing over and over again. Sometimes you can do it, and the next mission is another one of the same thing.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't say I've spent as much time with Battlefront as a lot of other people. How about you?
I've played very little of the original Battlefront. My cousin had it for the PS2.
Yeah.
I dabbled a little bit and went, oh, this is a fun Star Wars game.
It was very WoW at the time. I remember having it on demo in game.
Yeah.
The store. There's a lot of interest around Battlefront.
I just didn't really like third-person shooters or first-person shooters really at that time.
And I think it was a third-person shooter.
It was a third-person shooter, but like, shooters in general generally weren't my cup of tea back then. It came out around the time that I was fully into Japanese role-playing games or platformers. Oh. I literally played those two pretty much exclusively.
I didn't have it when it came out, but then again, I was a bit weird because I wasn't playing the latest games when they came out. I was getting the generation before.
Yeah.
So it was a long time till once I got my Xbox, I sampled the Battlefront series.
I'm just trying to figure out if it came out before my interest in first-person shooters. And there's a very easy way I can gauge this, because I didn't really like first-person shooters until I played Timesplitters 2.
I think turned me off from Battlefront, because I wasn't as crazy about it at the beginning as everyone else seemed to be, was the fact it was just capturing areas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You'd capture areas of a map, and the idea is you'd capture the most points in the map, and then you'd win the game. And I think Star Wars, for me, is... I don't know, it's flying spaceships, isn't it, a lot? And the story of Luke Skywalker and things like that, there's a lot of depth to that part of it. But it's quite a simplistic kind of shoot things, take points.
Yes.
I don't know as a concept if that was particularly interesting to me at the time.
Well, actually, it came out in 2004, whereas I'd been first exposed really to a first-person shooter I liked, which was Time Splitters in 2002. But maybe it was just the third-person aspect that put me off it. Like,
for me, it was that kind of game wasn't one I was into. Because I was really into Episode One Racer, and that isn't a deep Star Wars game either. That's a racing game. So
I've never really liked, and I say this knowing full well I'm going to get shouted at from you and everyone listening.
I've never really
been into Star Wars games that much. Like, I've never really played that many Star Wars games for me encapsulate what Star Wars
games were most prominent on PC.
Yes, they were. I never got a chance to play things like TIE Fighter and X-Wing.
X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yes, all these kind of things.
Dark Forces.
I like Dark Forces. I like Knights of the Old Republic. Mm. And I like, and for reasons people are going to go, why the fuck do you like that game? No, not Rebel Assault, Tom. But Super Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
That's notoriously
probably the hardest in the series.
It is fucking ridiculous. I have almost beaten it once as a kid, but I never did it.
I'd love to do with you sometime, Matt, is to sit down and try and complete a retro game together. This is something I used to do with my friend Carl quite a lot. We sit there and play Rise Star together and try and complete it taking turns.
That could be fun.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. We're talking about Star Wars games. You've never really been a fan, so you weren't that... Plus with Battlefront when it came out.
I was interested. Like, I loved Star Wars. Like,
you say
more
loved.
So, yeah, more so then than now, I think. I kind of moved on a little bit from the Star Wars universe.
I will always like Star Wars and always appreciate it. But as a kid, I was a big fan.
Yeah, likewise. But I
will always hold it close to me as the thing I like because of that. Nostalgia, and it is genuinely the original trilogy, very solid. I could watch them anytime and enjoy them. I watched Jedi recently and I was like, wow, that just zipped by. It's just pure entertainment from start to finish.
I feel the same about New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, which I watched with my girlfriend because she'd never seen them.
Yeah.
Gotta watch
all of them, I think that they're great.
I'm not subjecting her to the prequels. I've given her the option. I said, like, look, if we get to the end of these three films and you want to watch more of it, we can. But I don't think they're that crucial.
I think they're like a good kind of cheesy space opera.
Yeah.
You know, the prequels. And I can enjoy them on that level. They haven't got the depth, and they aren't as well done as the originals, but they're a fun bit of exciting escapism.
Well, like the films my girlfriend likes, things like Pacific Rim and like these big budget like sci-fi movies. She even likes the Transformers movies. I'm just like... I have a sneaking suspicion she will probably enjoy the prequels more than the original trilogy.
The way I think the prequels are a bunch of set pieces, things that George Lucas wanted to do. You know, he still had that story, Anakin coming Darth Vader, but he hasn't got much in between. There was a story of Palpatine taking over the Senate, you know, and all that, you know. But there's really a lot of other stuff which isn't that important. Like the pod race is wonderful.
Yes.
I think that's great. But it doesn't really add anything. It's just an exciting sequence. And I think the prequels are made up of these exciting sequences.
They are.
But they're not really that important. Whereas Star Wars, the original trilogy, was more about the story and less about the spectacle, as though it was a spectacle.
And that's interesting, though, because that then starts to creep into the Star Wars games, doesn't it? I mean, like, you have things like The Force Unleashed, which are... You know, it's a competent game. It's not a terrible game by any means of the imagination.
It's funny you should mention Force Unleashed. Because there's a game, Force Unleashed 2, was a game that actually made me feel something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it was very well done, the cinematics. I felt a real empathy with the character by the end.
The story in that game is very good. Gameplay-wise, I don't really like it. I get tedious.
Incredibly polished as the second was. Maybe a little bit more linear, perhaps, the yes. second one. And it was more about, oh, this is a really good-looking game with the... Well, quite a good story, I thought.
Yeah, the story's
but maybe
not
it
too
wasn't
bad.
As a game as the first one was.
No, but I mean, I got bored of the simplistic. First one because I thought the first one was quite repetitive.
I didn't like the camera on the first one, to be honest.
Again, with Star Destroyers, I fucking like, as cool as that sequence of you pulling the Star Destroyer down is.
Is that like, the first one?
It's the first one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the big
I never
fucking
got through
set
the first
piece
one.
Of that game.
I completed the second one, though.
Yeah.
Kept me playing.
There's a moment where it's like, you know, you're on this planet and you're trying to save this woman that Starkiller, the antagonist, loves. The not antagonist, protagonist. But he is kind of an... he's a protagonist. he's trying to save her and, like, the Empire coming to this planet, so he literally rips a fucking Star Destroyer out of the sky. And I remember it being the big trailer image and it being the image that they showed of like a poster of like this force sensitive guy who was so powerful that he's able to do stuff like yeah. this. And then like it almost becomes like that had to be in the game, but it feels really fucking clunky and out of sync with the rest of it. Like it's supposed to be this big moment, but it's such an effort to do it. That it's not even really a reward seeing it smash into the ground.
So
you know
maybe it would have been
ground.
Better it just to be a cutscene or something. Correct?
Yes. I think it would have been better to watch it. Like, it was cool you got to do it, but, like, it was one of these really fiddly, like, do you ever play Heavy Rain?
Briefly.
There's a few moments in that where you have to press, like, 4 or 5 buttons at the same time, and it's supposed to be difficult because it's one of these, like, if you fuck it up because it's a response of you fucking something else up, your character will die moments. And you're literally, like, trying to hold all the buttons and, like, it's so sensitive with the vibration of like the D-pad and the analog sticks where you have to like move it in certain bits.
It looks very awkward what you're doing with your
honestly,
hands
like
right now.
It was like you're making like claws on the controller. It's fucking awful. It's a really bad moment that what could have been like one of the best pieces of the game.
Okay.
But
so what was the point we're making with
Battlefront? Played it. Thought it was all right. Actually, it made me wish for another Rogue Squadron game. I was like, wow, this is pretty confident when I was in an X-Wing. But Rogue Squadron was better. Why didn't they just make this like Rogue Squadron?
It is. I mean, it's a very simple, very simplified ship fighter. Those elements of the game.
Yeah, but I like that element of the game, kind of, I would argue, more than the first-person shooter aspect
which
of it.
Which is very well done, though.
It is very well done. However, like, I have no opinion of any of the guns. There doesn't really feel like there's that much differentiation
I tried a different
between the weapons.
Gun last night, which was a fast... but I haven't explored... I've used 2 guns so far, so I can't really...
I bought, like, 4 of them, and obviously when you're Rebels and Imperials, you got different guns, and, like, they just feel the fucking same.
Yeah,
like,
they're all blasters, aren't they? But in the old days, when you had a first-person shooter, the weapons would have some variety. Take Turok, for instance. You
take
know.
Any game, like, take Call of Duty, like, you know, like, because you've got feedback and because you've got bullets and because they're doing different things, the weapons feel entirely different.
Yeah,
I didn't
really
feel that.
But is this just a byproduct of being a Star Wars game and they're having to be blasters and they're not bullets?
Maybe. But
how different can you make a laser?
The
feel?
Best things about that game for me are playing as the hero characters. Played as Boba Fett, I played as Han Solo, and I played as Vader in the introduction.
I really enjoyed
bit.
Playing as Han Solo.
Man, playing as Han Solo is fucking awesome.
You
playing
feel
as...
cool.
I survived an entire match playing as Boba Fett, because there are so many people who aren't really into first-person shooters playing that at the moment because of the Star Wars hype, that I was just flying around cleaning up with very little effort. Because
you were using your flamethrower.
I was using my flamethrower. I was also using my gun for Boba Fett, which felt exactly the same as the Stormtrooper gun, except I could actually kill people with it. So I was just like, awesome. Cool. I'm not shit at this game. It's just the weapons they gave you at the start are terrible. I can do this. Cool. And then I even killed Luke Skywalker as Boba Fett very easily because he was trying to dash at me and trying to slash me with the lightsaber. I was like, oh, I'm just going to fly and shoot you with a flamethrower. Ta-ra.
It's nice to have that range. You know, sometimes a lightsaber character can be a little bit frustrating. But then you can reflect lasers and throw your lightsaber. So
you can.
Let's talk a bit about attention to detail, though, in these games.
It looks beautiful.
Seriously,
give it that.
Like, this is one of the best-looking games I've seen for a while.
There is also a story on Kotaku, if you saw it, where some guy who's very famous in the PC modding community for adding lighting and stuff to games to make them look even better has essentially made it look like photographs.
Yeah,
it's fucking scary.
At the same time, as detailed and nice as the graphics are, it does feel a little bit sparse.
Doesn't add to the gameplay whatsoever. And I mean, like, you know, you are making these amazing visuals and stuff, and I'm just like, great, it's really cool that you were able to make these maps. However, it now means it's going to take you like another 6 months to make another one of these maps.
I was playing, you know, I've played a lot of single player stuff, like the battles, and I find some of the maps to be quite uninteresting. You know, the Sulluston with the 80-80s in the middle, yeah. And then you've got the Endor one where you've got the landing platform with the shuttle on, yeah. And then you've got all these little tunnels around the side, which all kind of look the same.
Yes.
They're a bit dull.
It's very hard to find like distinctive points in the map, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's so detailed and it's so, like, yeah, this is Star Wars. You don't ever really feel like, okay, this is the Rebel base, the blue one. Cool, we'll stay in the blue Rebel base, we'll do this. Because you're spawning in stages and things anyway, but because it's all, like, forestry and it's all mostly nature...
Yeah,
there's not really that level of like when you play Battlefield, for example. Like,
yeah.
Yes, there's a load of buildings, but there's some very distinct landmarks are in those areas that are just like, okay, yeah, well, I'm running through the houses down to the tower.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, you know where you are, and you know that if you've gone on to the next segment of the map, cause it's like, oh shit, this the ground has started to flood, or this car park isn't here anymore because they've captured it and now it's blown up, and we need to move forward. There's never any of that in Battlefront, which is a bit of a shame. I've only played a few matches. I'm not really tired of it. I'm kind of interested to play a bit more.
I've not even played the online, believe it or not.
I played 3 matches, I think.
How little I've played of it. I played through each of the training missions. I played through each of the battle missions as both, you know, infantry and as a hero. And I'm working my way up to getting into them online modes. I think later today I'll try that out.
Yeah, I'll have a game with you later if you want.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind playing with you.
That's the core game there, isn't it, really?
I would say so.
Tell you what, something frustrates me about Battlefront is there's not a lot of content, really, is there?
There isn't.
There could be a lot more levels.
There
and
could.
There are a lot more levels. For example, the Jakku thing,
yeah,
that is part of the game, but you can't play this part of the game until the new film's out. I think that purely that's because they wanted to release the game before the film. And, of course, they couldn't include something which maybe referenced a new film.
I've actually thought about this a lot when I was sat down playing it on Thursday. I'm just like...
Release the full game. I don't want to release a bit of it and then
play it. I'm just thinking, like, you know, they've got Hoth, they've got Endor, they've got, like, that weird lava world thing that's created just for the game.
Well, there's Mustafar, isn't it?
Mustafar isn't in there. Isn't, like, Mustafar.
I thought it was.
I didn't think it was.
And then there's Sullust as well, which is referenced in Return of
the
Jedi.
Oh, is it Sullust that's the one they
Yeah, you never go to that planet. But they do... I think Darth Vader mentions it in Return of the Jedi at some point.
Because I asked our good friend Jakob, who is an authority on Star Wars, and I said, are we on Mustafar? And he goes, oh, I don't think Mustafar's in this.
Maybe it's a Sullust then. Which is a planet we've never seen, I don't think, in any of the films. It's kind of the same. You know, Jakku, I'm worried it's going to be too much like Tatooine because it's a desert planet. I kind of want a bit more variety, but maybe... I'd love to see some stuff from the prequels. I mean, if Mustafar is in it, then they are using prequel stuff.
Mustafar isn't in it.
Okay.
It isn't Mustafar.
So it would seem very much to me like... they're distancing themselves from the prequels.
Seems
and focusing on the original trilogy, which is the most popular, coolest thing to be into at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, but I'm just like, surely you could have taken some of these worlds. Like, even if you took, like...
It suffers the fact it doesn't use assets from the prequels. Like, Naboo's quite unique.
Naboo would have been nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I came to this conclusion when I was looking at the environments that were in the game. And like the fact that they were having to make up environments as well. I'm just like,
Cloud City, why didn't you do that?
Why didn't you do Cloud City? I don't know. But I look at things, and I'm just like, why the fuck isn't this in the game? But then I'm like, have you made so much content for the new movie? Is your like business angle for this game, the new movie, so much so that you wanted to get this game out in the peak period so it sells for Christmas? All of the DLC content, will that be new movie stuff?
I don't know, because like I mentioned just then, Cloud City isn't in there. So, and then they look at the cover of the game, it's original trilogy. is this game meant to focus on original trilogy?
It doesn't really say original trilogy. It's just because it's got like Stormtroopers and Darth Vader. I mean, like, I think maybe that in a cynical world is the way of luring people in. You know what I mean? It is why there are so many people online now at the moment who are playing it, because it's Star Wars and like the classic Star Wars rather than anything else.
Mm.
But I think this is their platform now to just keep releasing DLC for 2 or 3 years until another Star Wars movie comes out, and then Battlefront 2 will be for Episode 8 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Ah, possibly. I mean, if you look at it, the original Battlefront games, the first one was Riddle Trilogy.
Yeah.
The second one was prequels.
Yeah.
But with the original stuff in.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what their strategy is at the moment, but there's about 4 download content packs in the pipeline. And I think definitely they're going to add a lot to the game, but I'm frustrated that I'm going to have to pay for that if I want it.
Yeah.
And I think the game as it stands, the retail release should have more variety in it.
It should. I'm hoping they will do a Battlefield and go like, okay, yeah, they sold a lot, but people aren't happy with it. We fucked up. Because this is all I hear from people. It's like, it's a good game. It's not enough of it. And this is why I actually purchased mine at our Danish Deal of the Week. I paid 300 kroner for my copy of Battlefront. So
that's
just
very good. I thought the price I got it at was 444 kroner,
yeah,
which at the time was lower than what it's being sold for in the UK.
Yes.
But that price is especially good.
Yes, it is. I could not find a cheaper price online.
No way.
It was in store only, so you couldn't even order it on their website, and it was while stocks last. They happened to have 3 copies of it in there when I walked in on Wednesday. I was determined, okay, I'm not going to buy this game.
You really couldn't afford it.
It was 30 quid. Like, I was just like, well, I'll take a bit of money over from my savings because I can just put it back.
You don't want to pay any more for this
game. I don't want to pay any more for it. Like, no. I really don't. I would never have bought it at 450 even.
Yeah,
like, because I've been burned too many times before. And to be honest with you, like, I don't think it's got the depth. I still think I'm going to play Battlefield instead. Like,
Really?
Yeah.
I actually deleted Battlefield, you know.
I know you did, yeah.
PS4. That's something I'd like to just briefly touch on. Hard drives aren't big enough, are they?
70 gig of my hard drive is Battlefield 4, man. Yeah. Like, I'm salivating for a game that I can take Battlefield 4 off. Like, as much as I've grown to appreciate that game, I just want a new game. It's been 2.5 fucking years I've been playing this game. Like, just give me a competent first-person shooter that isn't Call of Duty, please.
I don't like to be in the position where I have to delete stuff to be able to play other stuff.
Yeah.
Especially someone like me who doesn't complete games. I can't, like, you know, complete a game, then delete it,
yeah,
and then put something else. Because I've got so many games I'm partway through that I don't really want to delete it, because who knows if I might come back with it. So
yeah. I actually brought up an interesting kind of like moral dilemma on my part when I installed Battlefield on
Battlefront
on Thursday or Wednesday or whenever it was. I had it, and it was like, hey, you need an extra like 8 gigs of storage to do this. And I was like, well, I can either delete a load of the indie games, or I can have at what I've got, like what I've got in the pipeline on my console. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to delete Infamous because I bought the light expansion, First Light, where you play as the woman. And I'm like, well, there may be some like connected thing there. I deleted Ground Zeroes because I was like, well, I'm not going to play Metal Gear.
That makes sense to delete Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, I kept Metal Gear purely because I was just like, maybe they'll do something interesting with it in the future. And I have beaten this game that took me some 80, 90 hours to play through.
Mm.
I don't really want to delete it because I'm never going to get there again.
Well, you can easily just keep your save game, though, and delete the data.
How do you do that?
There's 2 separate things.
There are. However, I tried it. Marta downloaded one of the free PSN games from last month, Pix the Cat.
Yeah.
Because I could see that the save file for that was at the top of the thing. So I was like, right, okay, well, I'll delete this date. I'll delete the game and then see if it stays. No, I deleted the game in the hopes that the game data would stay there. However, it erases both of them.
But I remember on the PS3, there was a differentiation between save data and game data.
There
game
is.
Data was stuff it would install to help it run.
Yeah.
And save data was purely your save game, very small files.
And there is.
Yeah.
But however, when you delete one, for some reason at the moment, at least there may be some new settings you can do, it deletes the other. So I tried it out with Pix the Cat.
Which one to delete? You delete both?
It deletes both. You can delete the save data without deleting the game install, I think, but I'm not sure if you can do it the other way around. There must be something in settings, but I didn't look. However, then I deleted Watch Dogs. Because I was like, even though I've played this game, like I got to the end of it.
You've completed it, so.
And I was just like, oh, but what if they release like a Watch Dogs 2? What if they, like, the DLC is supposed to be okay for Watch Dogs? And I'm like, I don't want to play more Watch Dogs. I deleted it. And I was just like, and then I just started going through and looking, and I was like, well, I'm never going to play this again. I'm never going to play this again. I'm never going to play this again. It was mostly like things I'd completed. Like I deleted Never Alone, because as much as I liked that game, I can re-download it. It wasn't very long. Doesn't matter, because I got everything out of it. I even platinumed it, so.
Yeah. We can't be too precious now in this day and age where games take up so much hard drive space. Unless you get an external hard drive. I imagine that's quite easy.
You can even install a terabyte one yourself with
into
the rack.
Into internal.
The PS4, yeah.
But you could just get an external.
I could.
But I don't want to have to do that. That's the kind of thing. Yeah. I want this console, as I buy it, to be, you know, worthwhile.
To be honest with you, if I buy an external hard drive for anything, it should really be my Wii U.
Then you can use it. Can you use it for both?
No, you have to format it for that specific console. Yeah. That's how they get you. Yeah. Anyway, what else have you been playing? Cause it's been 40 minutes, and all we've really done is talk about the state of our video game collections and Star Wars.
We like Battlefront, though, but it's a bit lacking. There you go. That's what everyone said, and we're going to jump on the bandwagon and say pretty much the same thing. Well done, but, you know, I'd wish there was a bit more for your money.
So to go with popular opinion on a rather obscure game, I'm going to tell you, I played Rodea the Sky Soldier, Tom Parry.
Oh, yeah, let's hear about
that. The new Yuji Naka venture, which is actually, at this point, 4 years old. How is it 4 years old?
Yes, please enlighten us, Matthew.
Well, Yuji Naka made this game and announced it in 2010, when the Nintendo Wii was still the good ship Nintendo. And by 2012, when the game was ready to be released, the Wii U had been announced. However, as a result of this, their publisher dropped the game, and a new publisher stepped in and said, hey, can you make this a Wii U version of the game? And they said, yeah, we can try. And 3 years later, 2015, the later end of, a version of Rodea the Sky Soldier for the Wii U was released. It was also released for the 3DS. I hear that these games are very similar. However, the day of release, and because of what is in the first run, Yuji Naka took to Twitter to say, like, hey, Rodea's finally released. Play the Wii version, not the Wii U version. And I was like, okay. The Wii U version of the game, only in physical form, not in digital, comes with an extra disc that contains Rodea the Sky Soldier from 2012. It is a freshly pressed disc. It is the last release for the Nintendo Wii. And it's a very good game.
You go as far as saying very good.
Well, maybe very good
is
strong. I've
never played it.
Very good by comparison is probably a better thing to say.
You compare the Wii U version to the Wii version.
The Wii U version is a hot mess. It's pretty much unplayable. There are select areas of that game where you get special items in the Wii version. However, the Wii U version has a lot of extra things tacked on top, including an upgrade system. So they've taken a lot of power-ups you get in the game in terms of like story progression and locked them behind, like, hey, you need to play this game for hours to get in-game currency to unlock these things. So it takes a massive story beat out of the levels, and like in the third level, actually there's a great video of it already on giantbomb.com on their quick look. There's a section where you get these special shoes that allowed you to grind on rails. I should say that the game has roots firmly placed in Sonic and Knights. There is a deep connection of both those games into this one, which is understandable. It is Yuji Naka. But there's a section where you grind on things with your boots. However, in the Wii U version, I guess they couldn't figure out how to do that with all of the items being in the upgrade system. So you hit a cannon, like a Donkey Kong style barrel, and it sends you to the end of the level, like cutting 5 minutes out of it. And I mean, like, not even cutting the level out, because you can still see the level with all its connections under you.
reason why the Wii version is included in
the Wii version has a certain level of polish to it. Like, they've tried to do a lot more, like, the sprites of the game character model, I should say, rather than sprites, and the illustrations of the characters that talk over the top of the narration. And that's also garbage. Like, it is written like it is a 1998 or early 2000s anime computer game voice acting, where like the words feel really stilted.
I can imagine what it's like, but you didn't play
it. Yeah, but that is all more polished, and there's a whole degree of like, hey, the menu screens look better and all this kind of stuff, and like I said, there's extra features. However, the game didn't need it. So like, playing the 2012 version to the 2015 version, you're like, wow, this is just such a better game, because it's simple. It lets you get in, it lets you do these things. It's not as convoluted and complicated as the Wii U version, and it's just a bit of a weird mix, really. It doesn't really work.
Mm.
Also, you mainly control the 2012 version by using the Wiimote to gesture and to fly around, and the idea is you're not supposed to really go on the ground. You kind of link combos by hitting items and following chains around and stuff.
Yeah.
The Wii U version, despite having a touchscreen, and as does the 3DS, says like, hey, you can use both analog sticks to do this instead.
Yeah.
And so you have to like aim with the analog sticks, which obviously isn't as dynamic as you literally moving your arm to turn a camera, and then you just fucking die all the time.
It just doesn't work.
It's not basically a very good game. It is perhaps the worst Wii U game I have played. It's really bad. That's a
really interesting result then.
I want to show you both of them later, because I think you will really like the Wii version.
Let's see, because I'm considering getting this game, so I'd like to know what it's like.
You need to buy a physical copy, because undoubtedly the digital release of this will come down. However, the Wii version of the game is only included in the first pressing.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, I know, it's something I've got to get hold of.
You should probably get it, because it's going to become a collector's item, because it's a half interesting game next to a train wreck. So I think even from like a historical aspect, it's a very interesting thing.
With a reversible cover.
With a reversible cover.
And you could even put it in a white Wii box, and then you'd have...
yeah, I was actually thinking, I was just like, it's a shame that it's not two covers, because then I would have done that. But yeah.
There we go. Another game which is becoming a collector's piece would be Project Zero, whatever it's called, Maiden of Blackwater.
Yes.
I decided to pick it up.
You did.
For one, I own every other Project Zero game, and strange collecting habit of I'm really into a series or I've got a lot of it, I want to keep collecting it.
So you are in a better position to collect all of the Project Zeros than I am, because there is a Japanese-only PS2 Project Zero 4 that we never got. Oh no, actually, I tell a lie, it's not on the PS2, it's on the Wii. There's a Wii version of Project Zero. There's a fourth one that we never got.
Oh, you see, I've got the Wii version of Project Zero 2.
Yes.
And I've got the original game on Xbox, and I've got the third one on PS2. And now I have the Wii U version, which actually I think is a stunning-looking game. I think
very,
the characters are rendered in such a clean and striking way.
I haven't actually had a chance to play it. I have.
Really?
It took... it's been 2 weeks, I think, since we last recorded a podcast, right? I said it should be arriving any day.
Yeah.
It took a month to get here, because it came from Spain rather than game.co.uk for some reason. But I have it now.
I suggest those who want to play it to get the physical release, because it takes up a lot of hard drive space otherwise. Yes. I saw it, and it's like it is a lot, and I wouldn't have been able to install it on my Wii U as it is. And
let alone me.
Yeah, let alone you. So very happy to have a physical release so I can just play it at least.
Yeah, it also comes in a nice collector's edition.
It does. You get an art book, get some postcards,
poster, map,
post, yeah,
thing. I don't know. I'm not going to use that.
I did look at the art. The art book's quite nice.
Yeah. I also kind of feel sorry for our American listeners, if we have any. I don't know. It's been a while since I've heard from our American listeners. That there isn't a physical release in the States, unfortunately. It's just a European
sometimes
exclusive.
Sometimes this happens, like with Shenmue 2.
Oh, well, it happens. I'm sorry.
It happens, but I made sure I picked this game up, because this would be my only opportunity to play it, to have a physical copy of it, for one. And, yeah, it's only going to go up in value. So it's just a nice thing to have. You know, maybe once you complete it, you can set it on it. Someone else enjoy the game.
How is it?
How is it? Okay, so it's quite atmospheric. This water idea, and the developer, the director of the game, is quoted as saying he really wanted to... this to be a strong theme, the water.
Yeah.
And I think you know, he's managed to make water and this dank, damp feeling in the game, which is really effective actually for the fear factor, because it does make you feel uncomfortable. The actual gameplay itself, other than the fact that you use the Wii U remote to frame your shots and as the camera.
Yeah.
You know, for those unfamiliar with the series, you can attack ghosts by taking photos of them. And you also take photos of other characters in the game as well. You know, the first part of the game, you're two female characters, the protagonist female, and you go in with another female character, and she asks you to take a few pictures of her at the start. So it's got the Japanese thing of taking pictures of pretty ladies.
Yeah. But I mean, there's also pretty men, from what I saw in the trailer.
There are men in the game as well. Yeah.
Everyone looks very, like, no one looks gritty and, like, you know, like, no, when you look at Silent Hill 2, for example, like, all the characters look really haggard. Everyone's very, like, clean-looking.
Yeah, they are.
Which is kind of interesting.
They're pixel-perfect looking characters, almost like porcelain dolls.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was visually very nice. Atmosphere very good. So far, it doesn't feel so much different from other Project Zero games.
No.
Other than this unique twist that it's got this water theme, which actually is quite effective.
How is using the gamepad to take pictures of ghosts?
A little bit awkward.
Really? Oh, I was kind of hoping it would free it up a little bit.
It just takes getting used to.
I feared it's okay to start with, and then in later levels where it gets a bit frantic,
because there is a lot to think about when you're getting the ghost. There's a lot of different things you have to do to kill it.
Yeah.
And you have to do a lot of moving of the...
You need to hit it with your flashlight, then you turn on your hoover, and then you chase it around the room.
All these little white blobs appear, and you have to frame all these white blobs.
Fatally frame them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit awkward, but maybe I'll get used to it in time.
Fair enough.
It seems like a quality game. I can't really pass judgment on it because I've only played the first part. So.
Yeah, okay.
I'm glad I picked it up.
I'm looking forward to playing it. It's on the list. It's in the pile.
But then again, I haven't gone back to it since I bought it.
Yeah, but you haven't gone back to anything since you buy it. Let's be honest. Your pile of games.
Splatoon.
Other than Splatoon and perhaps Mario Maker. What games?
Yeah, Mario Maker and Splatoon are great games. What other games have I come back to recently? I recently came back to LEGO Star Wars 2.
Yeah, true.
Took me a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course I've been picking up games as well, and even though I'd said that I wouldn't buy any more games
on eBay, what have you been buying?
I was on eBay, and
you trickster.
You know, it got me thinking, you know, I really like the process of finding games on eBay and buying them.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. I really do enjoy that. And just lately, as I mentioned briefly before, that I'm looking at series of games that I have some affection for. And being compelled to collect different versions of them.
Okay.
Of course, in the extreme, that would be Worms and Lemmings. As listeners to the podcast will know that I've been trying to collect them, and I will go as far as collecting different variations.
Yes.
Just recently, it's been Star Wars games. But this is a little less extreme. I haven't gone for different versions or anything. There's a lot of Star Wars games I never actually played that I actually think look pretty good.
Yes.
I'm picking up a lot of the Game Boy games, actually.
Oh, really?
I have a copy of the original Star Wars for Game Boy and Empire Strikes Back for Game Boy.
Yeah.
Looking at a copy of Return of the Jedi for Game Boy, not got that yet. But there's some on Game Boy Color as well that I picked up. I picked up Obi-Wan's Adventure because I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
And it was a reasonably priced boxed game. I don't know if you've seen this before.
Yes, I have. And there's also Yoda's Stories as well, which is a little bit more pricey.
£5 I got it for, unboxed, Yoda Stories.
No, it's okay, unboxed, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean boxed.
Boxes. The Jedi Power Battles on the Game Boy Advance that I picked up. Star Wars Trilogy for the Game Boy Advance. Episode 1 Racer for the Game Boy Color, which looks like a Micro Machines type game.
Okay.
What else did I pick up? Episode 3 for the Game Boy Advance, which looks really good. Actually, I don't know if you've seen footage of that game.
I have not. I've heard nothing but good things, though.
I would recommend looking that up, because you look at the cover, you think, oh, generic movie tie-in, maybe not so good. But whatever team developed this game definitely put a lot of love into it, actually.
Yeah.
I also bought an Xbox game, Jedi Starfighter, for the original Xbox. Okay. Quite enjoyed the original Star Wars Starfighter, so look forward to having a go on that. And my Lemmings collecting continues also, with Lemmings Double Pack for the Amiga, a variation that I don't have, which is unique enough, I thought, to warrant purchase. Also, the NTSC copy, the Lemmings for Genesis, which includes a poster. Now, I don't see this version pop up a lot with a poster.
Okay.
So for just over 10, I thought that was worth it. My favourite pickup, though, has been Ono More Lemmings for the Mac. Which
it's a very nice,
lovely box.
Box
art, and that is a big reason I collect Lemmings games, because I really like the characters and the box art, and this is among one of the best.
Did you ever buy the Cuddly Lemming?
No, I need to get that at some point. It's on there. Yeah, something I'd like to get. I also bought a 3DO game called Shadow War of Succession. This is a game I saw in a YouTube video that was listing the worst Mortal Kombat clones.
Okay.
This game looks laughably bad.
And interesting.
I think it might be quite a fun curiosity.
Yeah, fair enough.
For a collector of fighting games.
Indeed. So
you lost your cat.
Is it a yes, I have lost my cat. I don't know where my cat has gone. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, so there you go. I can't stop picking up games, and I'm in this mode where I got Lemmings for the NES as well.
Yeah. Lemmings is on the NES.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Usually a box copy is quite expensive, and even the cartridge on its own can be about 15 quid. I found a cartridge for a tenner. I had to pick it up at that price. I couldn't resist.
Oh, you knew you just had to have it. But you've got a box.
No, but it's reasonably priced.
Is this not breaking your rule, though? Like, isn't the whole point of this whole collection that it's supposed to be
copy boxed?
Yeah.
I have Lemmings Two Tribes on Game Boy unboxed, and now I have Lemmings on NES.
Yeah, that was because that was
unboxed.
Ridiculously cheap.
Yeah, but this is ridiculously cheap as well compared to what I could pay for it.
How much is a box copy of Lemmings?
We're talking it could be 20 to 30 quid for Lemmings on the NES.
Okay.
This is half the price.
Yeah.
I'm saving some money. Aren't I a good boy?
Have you taken any of that approach with any of the other games like you're collecting, like Worms?
Not Worms.
No?
No, everything I have for Worms is boxed.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really care about Star Wars games if they're boxed or not. Saying that, I did actively buy Game Boy Advance and Game Boy Color games that were boxed.
Yeah.
Because they were cheap.
Yes, they are.
They were reasonably priced for boxed Game Boy games.
Yes.
So why not pick
Game Boy Color games are pretty cheap anyway, though.
Yeah.
It's only the OG Game Boy that tends to be quite expensive. There are some very expensive Game Boy Color games,
but not a lot. Of course, I didn't have... You know, I also collect Guilty Gear games.
Since when do you collect Guilty Gear games?
Since I realised I've got a lot of them already, and I thought I should just get every version boxed.
I asked you about that, like, a month or two ago. I rang you and said, hey, they have Guilty Gear on Game Boy Advance here.
Boxed,
and it was 30 krona, and you said to me, no, it's all right, I'm not going to get it for Game Boy Advance.
I changed my mind.
It's only a tenner, it's all right.
Tenner boxed. I actually already have it unboxed.
Oh.
But I want every...
I think that was your answer, actually, was that I already have it unboxed. And I was like, well, there's only 30 krona.
I was probably being very realistic, but why do I need it boxed? But then since then, I started thinking, I'm actually collecting Guilty Gear games, aren't I? So I should probably get it boxed.
Oh, God.
So just recently, I've been collecting Star Wars games, Guilty Gear games, Lemmings games, Worms games, wrestling games, and Tony Hawk's games.
Okay.
And that's been my collecting. I haven't really strayed too far away from those things. I haven't just looked for random games of interest. I've been collecting, and it's a little bit like, oh, this is very interesting that my collecting has taken this strange turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like I can have a complete collection of something this way.
Yeah. It works.
Mm, interesting. But I'm quite happy about that, and I've picked some good games recently,
okay.
I think.
I haven't really bought anything since our last podcast, other than the previously mentioned Rodea, because... It's that time of year where money is tight because it's a Christmas a coming.
No, but you got Star Wars and you got a Project Zero as well.
I did, but the only game I think I picked up that wasn't that is actually a Chinese copy of Ninja Boy for the Game Boy, a copy of Super Chinese Land as it is referred to in both China and Japan, cropped up on eBay for £2 by now, and I was like. I'm going to take that for £2. It was free postage in the UK too, so it's gone to my mum and dad's. But I was like, £2. It's a Chinese Game Boy card. They tend to be a bit rarer. I was like, oh, I'll buy that.
Nah, you can't grumble at £2, can you?
No. I mean, especially when I paid a tenner for my European copy, which is quite a common game. So I was like, £2 for a rare Chinese copy of a game. I just took it.
No-brainer.
Yeah. Aces. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of this podcast. It's been a rather long one, but that's because we haven't been on the microphone.
It always ends up like that. We hope you've enjoyed. We still very much enjoy doing it. We're sorry that our busy personal lives got in the way of podcasting for the last couple of weeks. But,
yeah, well, like your girlfriend was here, and I was just ludicrously busy.
There are very good reasons. But, yeah, back on,
we'll be doing it. No, up until Christmas, I guess.
Yeah, I don't see why not. We'll let you know if anything else. I mean, I'm moving flat very soon, so.
Yes, another time.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out next week. Okay, cool. If you want to find us in the usual places, you can do facebook.com/TomTheMattAttack. You can check us out on Twitter at TMAcast. We are also on the wonderful blastprocess.com, which is undergoing renovations.
At the moment, yes. If you go to blastprocess.com, at the moment you'll see something that's very different. We're going with a new provider for our website, Squarespace.
They're using Squarespace now instead of WordPress.
So we hope it's going to be even easier to find stuff that you want to see. Our podcasts will be in the reception section on the front page for podcasts, but you'll also be able to easily get to our YouTube videos, which was a bit of a problem before. So.
Yes. You can also find us on TomOnMattAttack.com, and we're also in iTunes. When you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? Go on. You know you want to. Yeah. And tell other people about the podcast. Our Twitter activity has been lapsing because even my biographic Twitter stuff hasn't really been on that much. And
I just can't tweet because I never think that anything I do is worth a tweet.
Oh, Tom. Don't look so down on yourself. People tweet pictures of their lunch, you know.
I know. Like, I don't feel compelled to do that.
No, somehow. I know. But your opinion is valued by the gaming community, I'm sure. But yeah, if you want to find us in those places, you can. Please tell other people about the podcast. Also, just if you're on Twitter and you follow us there, drop us a tweet to let us know you're still listening. Please, it would be nice to know and hear from you, especially American people, as I said, because I don't know if you guys over the pond are still listening.
Let us know how much you want a physical copy of Project Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Tom can maybe sell you one, because let's be honest, he's never going to play it again. Okay, until next week, people, game on.
Game on.